Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I have said on this podcast and in my radio interviews several times now that the Sabres have indicated that they do not want to trade J.J. Paterka. Their answer has changed. They are at least now listening on it. And I think that's recent. I think it's the reality of the situation. People know Paterka's unhappy and it's believed he would like to go somewhere else. And I just think that reality is sinking in a bit. I think the Sabres realize they have to at least look into it. And I think in the last little bit, it's gone from we don't want to do it and we're not doing it to we don't want to do it, but we at least have to look into it. I think it's kind of, if you're serious, offer us something serious and we'll look at it.
Elliot Friedman, welcome to mid to late June. It's the time of year where the Sabres have to maybe confront players wanting to go. So, J.J. Paterka. Nothing probably happens until the final is over, which game 6 in that series is going to be tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm.
And Florida can win the cup, and then we're to the offseason. The draft comes up kind of quick. That's one thing about the NHL. The season ends, and the draft is a couple days later. So,
yeah,
we could see Paterka gone in, a week, Joe? The draft is in 11 days. Round 1.
It really, I mean, that day, maybe? Him getting out of the draft without, I don't know. It depends how much the Sabres want to treat this situation differently than they've treated other situations similarly in the past. And it's been a minute, right? Like, when's the last time a star player, if Paterka graduating him to a star player might be a little...
But he's a very good young player.
Very good young player. Someone you might project will be, like, he'll make an all-star team.
His point totals for his career, 32, 50, 68. Like, right. You go ahead and chart that up. No, does he...
Arrows up.
Does he level off at... It's 68 points in 77 games. You know, he might not be a perfect player, but... He's a good young player. He's an exciting player. He's J.J. the Turkey in our house, and that will be a sad day if J.J. the Turkey is not on the Sabres. But I told you back in November that I had heard Paterka might not be a long-term guy. He might not be one of their guys. And I think that was because they knew this was coming.
Yeah.
That he's not happy here. He wants to leave. And yesterday I saw a lot of the reaction online. If you want to give us yours, 803-0550. I saw a lot of the reaction that was, listen, should I get out the flowchart? We've done this 1,000 times. Player is unhappy. Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Well, let me tell you about this player. He's not even that good. Who does he think he is? He's on some loser team. And round we go.
Yep.
And for, I think, a good chunk of the fan base, a lot of the fans, they are done blaming any player for that feeling. Because the thing I would say about it, Paterka, he doesn't have some sort of Reinhardt situation where they don't value him and didn't feel like paying him or extending him. My guess is the Sabres would.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have an Eichel situation where he signs a 8-year extension, he's the captain, he gets blamed for everything that goes wrong, he has a medical dispute with the team. Like, there's no publicly bad blood. Nope. This is just guy you drafted and developed well, wants to take control of his own career and say, I don't want to sign here long term. And he has the power to sign an offer sheet if he wants to. Mm-hmm. He can tell the team, like, I just don't want to do this. Thanks. This has been great, but I'd like to get out of here. I don't want to be here. And, you know, you could get mad at a player, or you could do the kind of thing where you say, like, what if that was you? What if that's you or me?
Right.
You get drafted to a team that you don't pick. And if you come here, you might think, I'm not going to win there. I'm going to be stuck out of the playoffs. And one of the reasons you might think that is because the guy that
Yeah.
You watch the GM stay for a long time and keep missing and think, why would I think this is a place where I can get to the level of the games I'm watching this week?
Mm-hmm.
Why would I ever think it would happen here? You've got some players that will sign up for it for 6 and 7 and 8 year deals, and you'd have some that would say, like, no thanks.
Yeah. I wonder, though, if fans will take into account that he really hasn't been here very long. This is not Thompson or Dahlin wanting out in a similar way that Eichel and Reinhart were like ready to go after 7 years of this, no, 8 years of this.
It's like a much quicker timeline.
Paterka's been here for three years, and he's ready to hit the ejector seat. And if he's felt something along those lines for, like, this didn't just arrive on him now, like, this is a feeling that he's had maybe for a little bit, then that could lead you to, well, I wonder if it's more about the city than it is more about the team, if that's a part of this. Because then that is a little different, I think, than, like, Eichel and Reinhart, when they want out, I never took that as anything to do with not wanting to be in Buffalo. I took that as they just were sick of losing.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's what Paterka's problem is.
He might just not like the area and not like the city.
Right.
He might want a different life.
Right. And the other difference between Paterka and those guys, maybe not Eichel, because Eichel had a lot of years left on that contract, but Reinhart was going to be a UFA in 12 months, right? Paterka cannot become an unrestricted free agency until July 1st of 2029. Like, the Sabres have
control
of him for a long time. So for him to be willing to make it tense at all, I think would show you how much he really would want to go, right? Like, because he would have that conversation with his agent. It's like, if we go down this road, like, this could be tough. And this could be uncomfortable for a while because you're not coming up on free agency. You're 23. You got a long way to go until you can get to that or before you can even use that as a bit of leverage. So, I don't know. Like, I don't know how the fans will react to him wanting out versus those former stories of this wanting out and how much the Sabres will want to play hardball, because they've played hardball in the past with Jack, and do they regret it?
It's a good question. Like, what do they feel? Do they feel there's
it made it ugly.
A reputation point here, a reputation piece. And while Paterka is the latest, I mean, he's certainly not the first, as you just laid out.
Right.
And he probably won't be the last. There was the reporting, again, that got from Paul Bissonnette, and he walked it back because that was from Friedman, that Dahlin went in there to talk to them about what the plan was when they make the Cousins trade.
Yep.
And that was kind of smoothed over. No, he's not saying he wants to leave. You've got Alex Tuch, face of the rebuild under Kevin Adams, I haven't talked about it with my wife yet, about the idea of an extension. Like, if Tuch wants to go, and it's, to me, like, the whole thing about Kevin Adams' time here, I mean, he's made some nice trades. Like, Brian Koziel came on and said, I've liked some of the trades. Really, it might be the inaction that's a problem. But you've got Paterka and Byram and the ninth pick and some prospects that you could try to turn into something and try to move forward. And we already know Kevin Adams is going to keep the job. But to me, the one of the biggest, you know, zoom-out problems here is that when he got the job and then traded Jack, it was guys that want to be here, mm-hmm. and it's a, you know, whether it's a privilege or an honor to wear a Buffalo Sabres uniform and all this. Like, the Sabres kind of talked a big game and sent out a guy that didn't want to be here anymore. And you start to look at the context then, it's like, well, that's because the team loses all the time. The team doesn't seem to have a whole handle on building towards a winner. And it's all about these picks and prospects. And finally, one of the best picks / prospects you've had makes it to this moment and says, like, oh, I want out too. I don't want to be here. So, man, what are you supposed to do if you're Kevin Adams? You supposed to play hardball? I don't think so.
Because what is hardball is just what? Like,
we're not going to trade you.
Hey,
here's a qualifying offer. If you won't take a bigger deal, here's a qualifying offer.
Right. Like, or like, hey, okay, you don't want to sign a long-term deal here. Here's a 2-year deal. Like, come play. Like, hey, we did. We did on your behalf. because, like, out of respect for you, we listened. We listened to teams, and they were all trying to lowball us because they think that we have to move you. You have 4 years of contract left. You know, get in the locker room, sign your two-year deal, and come play. We're not going to make you sign an eight-year contract. Like, that's what hardball to me would be is, you're 23, you just got here. Like, you're a good player, but you just got here. We're not letting you go yet. So what do you want to do? You want to go play in Germany? Like, well, you want to go down that route? Like, how bad do you want to make this? They could try to put the ball back in his court and really test him. But I even wonder, is he good enough to warrant that? Because he's a very good player. I remember thinking when all the surgery stuff with Eichel was going down, just bring him back. It's going to be uncomfortable. It's going to be awkward. Obviously, it had gone down a road where they all felt like that was impossible. But I thought, just put him on the ice. He's got 5 years of contract left. He's not going to retire. Let him have – that one was different, though, because it was, for me, let him have his surgery.
Right.
Let him have his surgery, and then what? Because that was being used as the catalyst for him to get out of there.
Even though he'd asked for a trade before that. But right. Still.
But get rid of the catalyst. Make it more direct. Do you want you're going to leave, or you're going to let you get the surgery, and then you're going to say after that, no, I'm still never playing for you again. Or are you going to come back on the ice for us? Because then, like, that's a superstar player. I wanted to explore all avenues to him remaining in Buffalo. Paterka is really good. I don't know that I would have the same attitude of, though, like, I can't let this guy go at all, at any cost.
Well, the fly in the ointment about playing hardball is an offer sheet. He can sign with another team. And you have to make the decision then, are we going to give him the contract that this team just signed him to, or are we going to take the compensation?
Because then you have him.
You have him.
You have him, but he's...
You could try to trade him.
You know he's not happy with that.
Right.
And, man, what is that like? What happens? You could do it and then, like, think, well, we're gonna trade him eventually. But imagine you do that. Like, Paterka signs a 7-year deal or a 6-year deal with the New York Rangers or whoever, and then the Sabres match it. Like, all right, well, what do we have here now? Now we have you for 7 years and we have you under contract and we know you don't want to be here.
Well,
I mean, that's not a great environment, but...
No, that's not. It's definitely not a great environment, and it's not... I mean, it's not something the Sabres would want to do. You don't want guys that are not... Not like they're not on board.
It's not like it's never happened, though. Like, Jonathan Drouin once wrote a letter to the Tampa Bay Lightning saying, I will never play for you again, and then he played for them again. And he was, like, 20. He was, like, 20 when that happened. And then he ended up coming back and had at least one good season, I think, with them after that happened. So, there's some precedent for it, but, I mean, you know, they're also not the Tampa Bay Lightning.
No, that's right.
The Sabres are not the Tampa Bay Lightning, if I need that to be said.
803-0550, our phone number, if you want to throw a thought our way on this. Mike in Pennsylvania. Hey, Mike, good morning.
Hey, guys, good morning. So, I got a question for you guys. I always listen to you guys religiously about the Buffalo Bills, and I don't even live in Buffalo, and it's a great source to get Bills information, and I think you guys are fantastic. And then a lot of the stuff bleeds over from the Sabres, and I just hear all this dysfunctionality and from an organizational standpoint, and they're owned by the same person. Why the difference? And I don't want the Josh Allen to be the answer, and that changed everything, because I think the culture was good before Allen got there. I think the Bills are just better that Allen's there. But why the dysfunctionality from the Sabres? Why don't they just watch what the Bills do and then kind of do that? I'm a little confused on that, and I feel bad for the people in Buffalo because they love their hockey, and this is the type of product and drama that they're getting from what I think should be somewhat ran kind of similar to the Buffalo Bills. Do you guys agree, or why is this?
But what would you consider, like, the copycatting of it? They've actually talked about doing things that they've learned from the Bills, but, like, what specifically are you looking for them to do? Like, the money part of it?
Well, no, I mean just winning in general, but, you know, as far as getting a culture that, you know, people want to come to, they don't want to leave. Like, they want to thrive there. I think the money's relevant, and people do look at money is a factor. I'd be lying if I said no, but at the same point, if the culture's good, you know, train people good enough that they don't want to leave and pay them okay. I feel like if the money's right or similar in the stratosphere, people are going to stay. Athletes will stay. They won't leave. They won't. It's like a training facility to me. And again, I'm not a Sabres fan. I just kind of hear what you guys always talk about. It almost seems like they're the joke of the NHL. It really does.
They have the longest drought.
They are.
There's
Yeah, I mean,
they're in the list.
How you build that culture without the winning is nearly impossible. I think
this is one of those times like talking about building the culture is hollow. There's no, that's
you got to win.
Yeah,
you got to win.
You have to win. And how do you build what is the culture of the Buffalo Sabres versus the Bills? The Bills' culture is knocking on the doorstep. You have the league's best player. You have good players around him, but you have an amazing fan base, you have an amazing atmosphere, you're the league's best player, and you're competitive. Like, that's it. That's what you have. That's your culture. Josh Allen's your culture. Josh Allen left, what would happen to your culture? You'd have a good coach, mm-hmm. a good GM maybe, that can make other things work, but you don't have Josh Allen anymore. Like, Josh Allen's a lot of your culture.
No, I mean, the best I could do for this, like, that, you know, what would an average player maybe think of, like, what is the Buffalo Sabres culture? Like, the worst case scenario they could think is that's a bunch of kids that don't know what the hell they're doing, right? Like, that locker room's a bunch of kids that don't know what the hell they're doing.
Right. But under Granato, they were kids coming up.
I don't know if that's still true of them. Like, a couple years ago, maybe, that would have sounded fair, but I don't know about right now.
No, I'd say what's different? What one thing that is different is, of course, like in football, you know, one player affects everything so greatly. You get the right quarterback, it's hard to be bad. And for not to take anything away from the Bills, just that you really have like it could never be overstated how big of an impact Allen has. Like, Allen is the reason they are successful, the number one reason they are successful, and number two and three and four. For the Sabres, they don't spend the cap. That's mm-hmm. it. They save money. They don't spend to the cap. They don't invest in ways that other teams do, whether that's hiring GMs. And, you know, Kekalainen coming in this year is a nice little piece here, I guess. But it's just, I don't know. I don't think it should be all that surprising why the two teams can be different. One team prints money. The other team loses money.
I don't know if this is as much of a hockey thing as it is a football thing. But what happens in sports sometimes when, hey, guy wants to be traded. Guy wants out. Should he get traded here? Should he get traded? Oh, wait, he's staying for a record amount of money. Myles Garrett mm-hmm. this summer, right? That's one way that, you know, sometimes a trade rumor gets weaponized. But for you to keep the guy, usually it ends up being the money. And I wonder about the Sabres on that. Like, how much could they dispel all of the, oh, he wants to be traded by, here's $9.5 million. But I would never believe that they would be willing to do that.
Well, go back.
Or I'd be skeptical they'd even want to pay anybody that amount of money unless the guy's like a superstar.
Go back to Matthew Fairburn's piece about Kevin Adams. We're in there. He's quoting other scouts and GMs and hockey people pointing out that it seems like, you know, running things by the owner on a level where you're trading a player for a fourth-round pick is like, and if that's exactly what it was about, like it was about a Joakim Haru trade. And how scouts would view that, how players would view that. I mean, the Sabres it doesn't have to be bad forever. But in the case of Paterka wanting to go, I almost would say if you're a good team, a player might want to leave, and that's okay too. Why does Bo Byram want to leave? Because he wants a bigger role.
Yeah.
And he doesn't see it here. He might not be personal about the city. He might just want to leave.
Right.
And if you think about the Bills before Allen got here, like here's a point. Antonio Brown, right? The Bills trade for Antonio Brown for 5 minutes, mm-hmm. and then he doesn't want to come here, and Bean goes to the podium talking about how, you know, he doesn't know this area, these people. And I thought, like, well, this is pre-Josh Allen. I can remember saying this. It's your job, the GM. It's mm-hmm. your job to change what players think of this place. And Bean has done that
mm-hmm.
through drafting Josh Allen, paying contracts, building a winner. It's the GM's job to make a place desirable. Mm-hmm. And you're still not going to get every player to want to play for you.
In connecting to that, that's what happened with Diggs, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Diggs wasn't said, so sure. I'm not into this right now. In the fall of 2019, when the season was ongoing, and then by the time the spring rolled around, he was convinced. Like, okay, yeah, I do want to go there.
And what changed his mind? Watching Josh Allen jump over dudes,
yeah.
Go to the playoffs, and think like, okay,
yep.
Allen changed his mind.
So you got to change. You got to have something that changes their minds here, because it will just keep going, right? Like it could be Paterka now, and it could be Tuck tomorrow, and it could be Byram the next day, and then maybe 2 years will go by, and then there will be three new guys.
Yeah,
three other guys that are all pretty good that are going to go. Yeah, I can't do this anymore. Even if it's a lucky season, that's why it's still offensive to me. They didn't respect the value of making it 2 years ago. They didn't. They didn't respect the value of making the playoffs 2 years ago. And I always wonder how different certain things would be had they done that. Even if they hadn't won when they got there, just if they had gotten in the one time.
Yeah. Yep. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. If you'd like to join us on the latest on J.J. Paterka, offer sheets, it's all a possibility. We'll talk about it. We'll track down Paul a little bit later in the show. But you can give a ring at any point if you want. And J.J. Paterka to J.J. Spawn, who won the U.S. Open, a belated Happy Father's Day to those of you out there. It's Jeremy and Joe here on WGR.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.
Florida wins. What does Edmonton do in goal?
Skinner? It's not really a great option here.
Yeah. They got to drag the series back to Edmonton for a game 7. They have to win in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And it's tomorrow night. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. Marshawn scores. Theory. You tell me, try this on for size. Marshawn is a little bit less hateable with Florida than he was with Boston. Little bit.
I think the damage is already done. He's too hateable. And it's not like Florida is the most likable team ever.
No. I just think...
They're a bunch of jerks sometimes, too.
Yeah. Something about him not with Boston, though. He's done so much.
Does it help that him winning... Is him winning making Boston mad?
Maybe that's what I'm feeling, but I don't know. The Bruins fans and Boston fans are funky. When Tom Brady won the Super Bowl with the Bucks, they kind of claimed that as a win.
Same with when Ray Bourque. Yeah. And they have a parade when Ray Bourque won the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, Boston,
Colorado.
You can leave, and they celebrate when that guy wins.
But they hated the Panthers, so that's where I don't know how they feel about this one.
No,
because the Panthers and the Bruins have had lots of battles, and last year when Marshawn's on the Bruins, remember, was it Sam Bennett punched him in the face and didn't get suspended, knocked him out cold. So there's history there, but I don't know. He's still Brad Marchand for me. I see his face after he scores a goal, and I'm like, ugh, this guy. He might win the Conn Smythe.
Yeah. I had the thought, is he the first person that Barkov hands the cup?
It's not like he's never won it before.
No, but...
But he won as a rookie, I think.
Who gets it first? They won it last year, and now we're winning it again, and who showed up? This guy. And
yeah.
He hasn't touched it in... 14 years? Or did he win it with them in 2011?
He won it in 2011. That was his rookie year.
Yeah, so he's waited since he was a rookie.
if we win it, I'm going to give this to Brad Marchand.
Uh-huh.
Which
I guess he probably will be the first one. There's nobody else. There's no... Did Poso get it first last year? No, right?
He did not.
Okay.
Again, that's their first cup.
Right. This is their second cup, so maybe you're more... Like, they're not going to give it to Seth Jones, are they?
I don't know.
Before they would give it to Marchand? Especially, what if Marchand's won the Conn Smythe? Right? Like, what does he have? He has 10 goals and 10 assists in 22 games.
It's pretty good.
For them, like...
He's been great in this
series.
How
well he's playing, I think, probably helps that, too. Are we seeing him get into as much of the extracurricular stuff? I'm not seeing him, like, he hasn't licked anybody's face this playoffs. You know, I haven't seen him spear anybody between the, like, I don't know that I've seen anything that makes me think, oh, look at this. This is the grossest human that's ever played hockey.
He has not kneed a kneeling McDavid in the head.
No, he hasn't done that. So maybe the fact that he's calmed a little bit on that front has me feeling a little more timid about him.
Sorry, it was Marchand that got kneed in the face. He didn't do the kneeing to the face.
He got
James Neal kneed him in the face.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Forgot about that one.
We're sure he didn't also knee somebody in the face.
I've got a highlight of Marchand.
I'm sure he has.
I've got one where he kneed Lundqvist in the head.
There you go. There's one. So, no, he's the worst part about Florida winning, still. If Florida wins, to me, he's the worst part about Florida winning. I don't want to see him win.
Yeah, I don't feel any...
He stinks.
I don't feel any of that for him right now. I guess that's my point.
He's the one carryover I would still have from Bruins teams that I would have cared about. The Sabres haven't made me really care about Bruins teams in recent, but like the Chara, Lucic, Marchand Bruins... That kind of started the Sabres rebuild because the Sabres decided to go get a bunch of goons and tear everything down because they got bullied by Boston, right?
Yeah.
Like, he's a part of that.
He is.
He's a part of that. He's in that series in 2010, isn't he, against them? Or maybe not. Maybe, no, if he won the Cup in 11 as a rookie, then he wouldn't have played in 10.
No.
But either way, like, I don't know. I gotta have some hate for somebody in this sport, right? If it's not for Brad Marchand, there's nobody left.
Boy, who do I hate in the sport right now?
Yeah, who do you hate in the sport? Who do you hate? The guy you just can't stand the most.
I don't know. I don't have. Do I not have one? Am I learning this right now?
Wow. There's not like. Is there like a cheap shot artist hanging around in the league somewhere?
The Seattle Kraken's name. The thing I hate the most in hockey right now. That's all I've got.
Just the Kraken's mere existence.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Under their name.
The person I like the least in the NHL is Jason Botterill. Is that the answer? It might be my answer.
I think you hate the Seattle Kraken. You hate their GM and hate their team name.
The Bruins, like you're,
Is Bilesma still the coach?
Nope. He got fired.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
He got fired. Yeah, it's kind of sad.
Kachuk?
No.
You're good with Kachuk?
Sure.
Okay.
I think Jordan Binnington's a jerk, but everybody thinks Jordan Binnington's a jerk.
There you go.
But that's not bad. But even then, just like that's
Evander Kane. He's pretty dirty.
I don't watch this series and think I hope this team loses. I don't have, and this probably drives home a point that you're getting to about where the Sabres being relevant in these rivalries matters. I mean, what do I want to do when the Super Bowl is rolling? I want the Chiefs to lose by 100.
Yeah,
I want them to get destroyed.
Yeah,
and I don't have that for the NHL. I don't have that for a team right now that I can think of. Maybe it'll come to me.
Was it still Boston at all before
they
got bad this year?
Sure. I don't hate watch the Leafs and root against the Leafs.
But you would turn on a game like 3 years ago and it's the Bruins and whoever and you're rooting
but
against the Bruins?
That's just a universal Bostonism for me. I'll root against the Celtics. I'll root against the Patriots. Okay. Just Boston.
It's not Bruins specific.
Just sitting here rooting against Boston and everything they do.
Uh-huh.
Because they won so much.
It's not like I have much of that left either, but Marchand would be one of my last hurrahs NHL hate.
I'm not telling you that anyone else should live like this, but in the last 2-3 years, I told you I'm not mad at Carolina anymore. Mm-hmm. That's weird, too.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it comes back someday. Yeah, the healthy hatred, the healthy distaste. Marchand is... It's kind of a sad day. Like, this is one of the most hateable guys in the league, but Watching him do this is undeniably impressive. He's 37.
I mean, it's tough to, you know, it's tough to hate other teams and other individual players when, like, you're already spending so much negative energy on your own team.
Yeah.
Right?
Might be you there.
You're exhausted from just hating everything. I'm watching, you hate watch your own team for so many games. Like, I don't have any hate left over for the Leafs.
That said, anytime I'm asked, like, you know, what are we going to do about the Sabres? My answer is always like, they can be good next year. They've been able to be good next year for like 4 years in a row, 5 years in a row. Teams go from being not that good to, okay, you're in the playoffs in a year all the time.
But they're not allowed to.
They don't.
Yeah, but not, maybe this is changing a little bit. The one thing that that hasn't been true of is not in this division, right? It was years since anybody except those four teams at the top.
And what happened this year?
One of them got in.
Two of them got in. Ottawa and Montreal. They both got in.
I completely forgot Montreal got in.
Don't forget they changed up the divisions and Montreal got to a cup final.
Uh-huh. But that's what I mean. Like they got themselves away from the Atlantic and like, oh, you can have a lucky season and then you get hot in the playoffs. And it has been harder to do that because you've had four kingpin teams at the top of one division.
For 14 years or how many years?
Right. That's why I wouldn't – it's – that would sound like I'm blaming Tom Brady for the Bills' 17-year playoff drought.
Even though he's a big factor,
it's
there.
An influence in it. It's still your own team's
fault.
How much are the
Brady's dominance of the AFC East was in part Brady, and in part the other teams couldn't get their act together. How much is the Atlantic kingpin teams a result of the other teams can't get their act together? Detroit,
it could
Montreal,
be
Buffalo.
It could be some, but when you do. Maybe not fully, though, because when you get to the playoffs, the Atlantic teams are stomping on the Metro teams.
That's right.
So, like, you're seeing, like, oh, no, Florida is way better than Carolina. And Tampa before that was way better than, I guess it was Carolina, and the New York Rangers, right? Like,
yep.
So, that's also true, right? Ottawa, Detroit, Buffalo, and then Montreal for a while. Those teams have not done a good job of getting going for years. But, no, those teams at the top were legitimately great. Like, that's why the playoff format's stupid. Right? Like, they should have been playing in the conference finals instead of the first round, but yep. Here we are.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550.
Tom Wilson, the chat says. What about...
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Tom Wilson.
Okay.
You're fine?
Sure.
I don't have any Sidney Crosby hate left over. That used to be me.
How about Radko Gudas is my guy for this.
I can't get worked up about him.
Oh. Yep.
Has anyone done anything like to a Sabre recently? Like something dirty, like knocked
Gudas
a guy out?
Did do something that I'm not exactly like, what event. He's a scumbag.
Who knocked Tage's helmet off last year? Who knocked Tage out of the game for New Jersey? See, this is the point, though. Like, I don't even know who the guy is for the Devils.
It was Stefan Nowiesen.
Okay. Yes. See, I couldn't.
Yeah, you've cracked the code, Joe.
The name's not in my head because I'm too busy mad at Matias Samuelsson for that moment.
I'm going to get out of bed tomorrow mad at Stefan Nowiesen. There you go. I've decided.
That's your guy.
That's my guy. He better not win the cup. He's not going to win the cup this year. No, you're right. You're right. You're so focused on what Samuelsson didn't do.
I forget who the guy is that hit Tage.
Yeah. 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. Former Bills offensive tackle Stu Barber died over the weekend. The team announced that he played with the Bills, the AFL title teams in 64 and 65, a five-time All-Star in his 9 seasons. So you old-timers out there might remember that if you're around for the Bills, AFL title teams. Stu Barber died. He was just shy of his 87th birthday. Played outside linebacker as a rookie and moved to offensive tackle.
When we, during COVID, and there was nothing to talk about, on Chope and Bulldog, we would do like a draft like every week, and we did a Bills all-time offense draft, and I did a lot of research on that draft, and Stu Barber was one of the guys I landed on.
Nice.
You picked him? Three-time All-Pro, I think. Yeah, he was my left tackle on that team. Yeah. And then I think Bulldog made fun of me because he was 250 pounds and his lineman was going to be over him. But yeah, like five Pro Bowls in a row or whatever.
How about that linebacker to offensive tackle pipeline?
Yeah, athlete.
803-0550-1-888-550-2550. Jeremy and Joe on WGR. All right, good morning, Jeremy and Joe. It's beautiful outside. Joe, I'm going to tell you a quick story that happened to me. First time this has ever happened to me.
Uh-huh.
I never thought this would happen to me, but first, so at the Whalen fundraiser on Thursday, where we raised a lot of money for the 100 holes, thanks everybody to everybody out there who came, still getting all the prizes, and many of the winners have been notified. I'm still working on getting prizes to people, but anyway, so, you know, hanging out, saying hi to a lot of people, hi, nice to meet you, listen all the time. Anyway, we met this guy who listens all the time. And Ray, and it was, you know, great to meet all these people. He introduces me, sister, blah, blah. We're just talking. And topic comes up like, oh, so-and-so, blah, blah, blah. She's about your age. Mm-hmm. She said this to me.
Okay.
Like, this person's about your age. And I immediately thought like, well, we haven't discussed how old I am. So what's the obvious follow-up question? Oh, how old do you think I am?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Which, all right. Here comes the answer.
Yeah.
How old do you think I am? She responds, oh, about 50.
Oh.
And I go.
Oh, but she didn't say 50.
She said about 50.
About 50.
She's about 50.
Yeah.
And I replied, that's not wrong.
It's not wrong.
That no, is not that wrong.
But you were caught off guard by the number?
I thought the response would be 40s.
You know, that's 40s. That's a big window. One sounds way better than the other.
Right. Yeah. It's a big window. That S is doing work. 40s?
Yeah.
Oh, about 50.
Yeah.
I'm 45.
About 50.
I'll be 46 in 10 days.
It might have been better if she'd even said approaching 50.
Everybody's approaching
because
it.
Because about 50 could be, yeah, you're somewhere between 46 and 52.
You're right. About 50 could be equal 52.
Right. Right. Someone 7 years older than you, like, you could still do that with Bulldog, right? Like, about 50.
I have no idea how old people are. I don't know.
How old's your dad? 55?
He's 54? 59, I think. I think.
He might be in that neighborhood.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. 65.
Because for him, yeah, I could see someone saying like about 50.
He turned 60 this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember his 50th birthday party. 60.
See, that is more stunning to me than you being close to 50.
Well,
am I close to 50 or not? I'm 45
still. 50, sorry, about 50.
About 50.
Okay, right. See, he's right. We should hold off until he turns 46. Right,
I'm not even in my late 40s yet.
I think actually maybe they might be wrong. If you're 45 still, and the number ends 4-5, you're not about 50 yet.
No, I got.
But the second you get to 46, you're about 50.
47 is late 40s. 46 is mids. I'm still mid. I'm in my late mid-40s.
Late 40s. I think someone could get away with late 40s. If you just go early and late, and that's it.
Well, my birthday's coming up. You guys can all get me things. I'm not about 50. Like I said, I wasn't mad. Like, yeah, that's not wrong.
Give him the complete DVD set to Howdy Doody.
Howdy Doody. 803-0550, our phone number. Matt Beauvais joining us top of the hour. We'll talk to Paul a little bit later in the show on the Paterka stuff. But Matt Beauvais, he's got a series coming up that'll be chronicling, kind of remembering Highmark. You know, we're getting into now, mini camp's over, training camp on the way. The new stadium looks more and more done each and every day. And part of what Matt's going to do is kind of look back a series on Highmark Stadium. We'll get his thoughts on the U.S. Open and Highmark, and all the memories that come with it. It's coming up here on WGR.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.